With Steve Scherr, I'm Marcy Silman. Right now, Washington State generates about 14% of its electricity from coal. Governor Inslee would like to take that number to zero. Coal is on the outs all over the country, but once upon a time, coal was king, especially in the Pacific Northwest. As we move towards our coal-free future, it's a good time to look at how coal shaped us, and here to help us do that, Leonard Garfield, Executive Director of Seattle's Museum of History and Industry. Thanks for coming by.
Thanks, Marcy.
So when we talk about big coal, how big was it in Pacific Northwest?
It was big. It was our singular big industry through most of the 19th century.
Wait, our singular big industry?
It really was. You know, you think of timber and all those great woods. It took a while to get the technology to actually exploit that resource. But coal was there. We knew about it as early as the 1850s. And by the 1890s, we were mining millions of tons a year from King County and the surrounding counties.
Well, where exactly were these coal deposits?
Really all over the Cascade Range in western Washington. So coal was first discovered in Cowlitz County. It was discovered as far north as Whatcom County and throughout King County, Pierce County, Kittitas County. Just about anywhere you'd go in the foothills of the Cascade Mountains, you'd find some rich coal deposits.
Hence the names Black Diamond and Newport.
And Newcastle.
Newcastle.
Absolutely.
What kind of coal are we talking about here? Very usable product?
Yeah, very usable, pretty high quality. It wasn't strip mined. It had to be mined out of the ground, but it was good quality coal, and it served perfectly the needs for home heating. It burned very intensely and relatively clean, and it was pretty affordable to get to market. So we were sitting on a load of very valuable resource.
I'm talking with Leonard Garfield, Executive Director at MOHI, about the history of coal in our region. If I'm not mistaken, that's one of the reasons that the Lake Washington Ship Canal was made. Is that correct?
Well, you know, really all the transportation infrastructure was developed because of coal. Our very first railroad in the 1870s went from Seattle. It was supposed to go across the country, but it ended up in the coal fields of eastern King County. Hey, that was good enough. And every railroad that came in, the ship canal, all of our infrastructure improvements very often were created because they wanted to facilitate the transport of coal.
Amazing. Besides transportation and infrastructure, what other kinds of impacts did the coal industry have here?
Well, it was really amazing, Marcy, because, you know, we think of timber and fishing and some of our other early industries. They were very transient. The timber cuts moved wherever the forests were, but coal was deeply rooted in place. And so as we look at eastern King County and Pierce and Kittitas County, we see a lot of coal mining towns that had very cohesive communities, many workers from around the world, a lot of traditions adhere to our coal industry. And that's a resource that we sometimes forget about. People talked about coal miners as being footloose and maybe a little bit dirty because it was awfully dangerous work. Mm-hmm. But really, they were a very cohesive, engaged community, very politically active.
When I think about this region, I do think about a politically active place, the international workers of the world once convened here. What's the relationship between coal and labor organizing?
It really was our first organized labor efforts were in the coal fields. It was the Knights of Labor. Remember that from your high school?
I do.
High school civics. Back in the 1870s, they came in and they organized our coal workers. And they were, you know, chronically facing dangerous working conditions, health concerns, fires, mine collapse. They needed that organized labor. But it gave Washington State and the Northwest in general the reputation of being a union hotbed. And employers were very resistant to that. And there were a lot of clashes and, in fact, a lot of strikes.
So how do you see that sort of early hotbed of labor carrying through to the 21st century?
Well, coal miners really were the first people who put employers on notice that working conditions were going to be just as important as salary and other factors. And that's a tradition that really became embedded in our cultural and political DNA, and we see it to the present day. Having said that, these workers also were very much part of the paternalistic company town syndrome. They really were at the beck and call of their employers. They not only worked for them, they lived in their houses. They had to go to company stores. It was a very integrated relationship that was very fraught with difficulty for the workers, but they had always adhered to their strong belief in unionism.
Interesting. So at this point, as I mentioned, Governor Inslee is talking about taking Washington State to zero coal. There are some talks about reviving a coal mine in Black Diamond, but I think that we're talking more generally than that. So part of that is because of the environmental problems that come to both digging and burning coal. When we look back at, I guess, our past, our fond origins, what do you think we should keep in mind as we say goodbye to coal?
Well, I think maybe one thing that we are losing, and we've been losing this for a century because coal has been on the decline since really even before World War II, is the kind of rootedness and the community that adhered around people who had a very specific skill, who took pride in their work and were very rooted in the place where they worked. These were communities where generations of workers would follow in the footsteps of their parents, where people would come from Eastern European communities and gather together, and they built around them the churches and the social organizations, the traditions of food that would come with that. And they really built communities more than just an economy. As we move beyond even manufacturing into the knowledge-based economy, are we going to lose that sense of community? How do we gather together and build traditions as well as building a strong economy? That's what we might be losing a little bit of.
Short of burning coal. Leonard Garfield is executive director of the Museum of History and Industries located on South Lake Union in the city of Seattle. Thanks so much for coming in to talk about the legacy of coal.
Thanks, Marcy.
With Steve Scherer, I am Marcy Silman, and this is The Record on KUOW.